Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, February 13th. We're over the middle of the week. We're on the downside of the slope here, and it is a great week. We have been talking about the Eighth Commandment. I know we've been talking about the Eighth Commandment all week, but we're saying good things about it. And so we're going to continue our conversation on the Eighth Commandment today, and we have a great panel lined up here to talk about that as well. How does the Eighth Commandment affect your work when you work in journalism and communications? We're going to talk about that with the professional staff from the Department of Communications here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in just a little bit. So I hope you can stick around for that conversation. I am sure it is going to be a great conversation. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, look for the sponsor section there on KFUO.org, and you'll find that CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page, find out all about the great programs they have to offer and the locations where Concordia University Wisconsin is available. If you have questions for our guest today, you can give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. Be glad to take your questions today as well. Well, joining us in studio today, we have a lineup of professionals in the field of communications and journalism. Joining us here in the studio today, Vicki Biggs, Director of Public Relations here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Vicki, good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Andy. Thanks.
Also joining us in studio today, Melanie Ave, Senior Writer and Social Media Coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Melanie, good to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And our staff photojournalist, Eric Lunsford, great to have you in studio today.
That's absolutely fantastic. Thanks for having me today.
And also, we may get some comments from time to time. One more staff member who's lost her voice, unfortunately. I guess it's a good thing she doesn't work in radio much, but we'll try to hear from Adrienne Dorr from time to time. She's editor of Catechetical Information and managing editor of the Lutheran Witness. She'll send us some emails from time to time with some comments, hopefully. We'll try to check in with her occasionally throughout the program. So, before we even get into Eighth Commandment issues, I want to hear about what you do, what your work is, and how you ended up in this line of work. What led up to this career in communications journalism? We'll start with Melanie over here. Melanie, tell us about what you do. You work obviously social media. That gives us one idea. But as a senior writer and social media coordinator, what do you do here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, I have a lot of different duties, but I write for Reporter. Mm-hmm. I also write for Lutherans Engage the World magazine, and I oversee the main LCMS social media accounts, which includes Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google Plus.
Very good. So you probably spend a lot of time online.
I do. I love my computer.
If you're like me, by the end of the day, your eyes are probably blurry from staring at screens all day long.
That is true.
How did you get to this point in your career? Tell us a little bit about your background, your education, and what led you to this point in your career.
Sure. Well, when I was in school, I fell in love with writing. Mm-hmm. And so I had a great desire to make a career of writing, and newspaper journalism was an obvious answer to that. So I majored in journalism. Mm-hmm. For my undergraduate degree, and soon thereafter I took my first newspaper job at the Tulsa World in Oklahoma. For most of my career, I've been a journalist, so I then went on to work at the Dallas Morning News, and then most recently at the St. Petersburg Times, which is now known as the Tampa Bay Times.
Uh-huh.
So my husband and I moved here about five years ago, and I think we all are aware of the issues in the field of journalism. I decided it was time to start a new career, so I was fortunate enough to come here to the LCMS in the field of public relations, and Vicki is one of those who helped bring me here, and so it's a new career.
Wonderful. A great story to hear about your background as a professional in the field of journalism. When were you in Tampa? When were you writing for St. Pete? And
I lived in Tampa. I lived in St. Petersburg, but I was there for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And let me think here.
I was just wondering.
We left in 1998, so from 1998 to 2008.
Wow. Yep. So we were there around the same time. I served a congregation in the area as well, in the Tampa area. So Emmanuel Brandon.
Oh, great.
Vicki, let's hear about what you do as Director of Public Relations here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That's, I'm sure, a pretty big task.
It is pretty all-encompassing, and it's very interesting work. So I'm primarily responsible for media relations and a lot of promotional activities. You know, when we have something new to be talking about, for instance, the Cross Edges program that debuted on KFUO just back in December, you know, I helped with the creation of the promotion plan for that. So I spend a lot of time developing integrated marketing communications plans for the ministries here at the International Center.
Very good. So you do when something new is coming up and or any kind of news is big, you help with getting the word out about that and coordinating the efforts to get the word out about that.
That's right. You could say that. Also get involved a lot with disaster response communications. I'm looking at my colleague, Eric, when I say that, who's been around the world lately covering some of the disasters, but I help to oversee the communications around getting the news out about disaster response stuff. We have our missionaries in the building today are 10 new missionaries and spouses who are going to be sent out to the four corners of the world after their sending service on Friday. So I'm helping to promote that very special sending service as well. So I get involved in a lot of the things that are happening here at the International Center.
Tell us a little bit about your background, how your background in communications and how you what led you to this position.
Well, Andy, I'm not going to talk about years, so let's just be clear about that up front. But my whole career has been in marketing communications. I started right out of college in the for-profit sector working for an accounting firm. I'm a St. Louis native, so all of my jobs have been here, unlike Melanie, who's been also at glamorous locations outside of St. Louis. But again, I started in public accounting as marketing and public relations coordinator. Was there for quite a long time, really learned the nuts and bolts of the job there. And then I moved over to the nonprofit sector, and I've worked for a glorious event called the St. Louis County Fair and Air Show, which is held here annually to benefit Children's Miracle Network here in town. Went from there to Big Brothers Big Sisters in a communications marketing role, and then came to the International Center about 8 years ago, I think this very month.
Wow.
So again, my whole career has been in marketing communications, and I really wanted to tell this story today as I was reflecting on this opportunity to be with my colleagues and all of our friends who are listening. You had asked us to reflect on, you know, when did we know we wanted to be in communications? And I was reminded of something that I hadn't thought of in a long time. I'm a graduate of Hope Lutheran right here in St. Ann, Missouri. And I can remember now, as I'm thinking back, how I used to lead my classmates outside at recess to the playground, and I would tell stories. And I remember now, again, I hadn't thought of this in a long time, that those stories would go on for days. And I can even remember describing the dresses that my characters were wearing. So I've been a storyteller, I think, since I was a little girl. So,
well, wonderful to see that how that creativity that started developing as a child, now you still get to use throughout your life and in a vocation that you enjoy.
This is truly creative work, and I love it.
Eric, as a staff photojournalist, what you probably get to do some really exciting stuff. I know Vicky was saying you get to travel all around the globe. What is your responsibility as staff photojournalist?
Oh, wow. Well, I absolutely love what I do here, and it's absolutely fantastic. And I've been here since November. And, you know, that's a great question, because my first day on the job, literally, I was on a plane to Manila at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, disaster, we had gone to assess the Typhoon Haiyan over in the Philippines. And I had come from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I love that place, love the people behind it as a staff photographer. And so I left on a Thursday night, and on that Friday morning, I was on the plane. So I do a whole number of things here, and I tell stories with pictures, and that's one of my favorite things to do. So, for example, I just actually got back. I was traveling with President Harrison and Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, our director of church relations. They were in Wittenberg in Germany, looking at the old Latin school. We were in Accra, Ghana. And then we had flew through Nairobi to go to Madagascar. And so we just returned late Monday night. So still kind of getting over that jet lag and a bad cold that kind of popped up. It went from 85 degrees to 8. So I'm still trying to get my bearings back, but this was absolutely fantastic. So some of it's just telling that story with some of our people. Other times it's going out and documenting great things going on in a community. And what's great is being at the church and the synod, there are so many things going on. It's unbelievable what the church is doing.
And I want to get back to your history here in just a little bit, but I'm curious why, how important is it that we have a staff photojournalist to get these images? I think, I know Vicky's probably got something to add to that, and I know we'll come back to Eric.
Well, we've all heard the phrase, picture tells a thousand words. Mm-hmm. And Eric's pictures tell a million words. He's a fabulous photographer. But there is no better, well, with all due respect to all the writers in the room.
Thank you very much.
A picture truly can tell a story. If that's all the space you have, if that's the only thing you can have at your disposal, you need that photograph to tell the story, to help others understand what's happening.
And it appeals to, I'm sure, a broader audience as well. The audience that, there's an audience certainly that will appreciate the writing and will pick up the writing and read it or sit down and at a computer and read it. To have the photo, as you said, that engages the audience as well, to really draw them in, I think, to read the rest of the story, to hear the story, I think it's important. Eric, tell us a little bit about your history, your education, and how you ended up here. You told us about your first day on the job.
Well, that's a great great question overall. I'm born and raised in St. Louis. I love St. Louis. And when I was a little kid, you know, we got the Post-Dispatch at the house. And so the St. Louis Post would come, and I'd look at the photographs in the paper, and I would just be absolutely wowed by them. Mm-hmm. You know, one person who was my colleague and now a mentor, his name is Jerry Nonheim. He had traveled as a staff photographer to faraway places, and I remember seeing these and thought, this is fantastic. This is what I want to do. So, you know, I went to Chaminade High School and then to St. Louis University. I studied communication, but I'm a self-taught photographer, and I started working for the newspaper, the University News there. And I was able to land an internship with the Post, and it's been just an absolute wild ride since, because as a newspaper photographer, you just do something different every day. And what's really great here at the church as well is it's something new every day. I get a chance to meet new people all the time. But I started as an intern at the Post. I interned at two different newspapers, and then I got my first full-time job down in Florida. So Melanie and I share that. I started work at a small paper called the Stewart News. It's right on the coast of Stewart, Florida, just a little bit north of Jupiter, where mm-hmm. the Cardinals are at right now. And then I went to the Palm Beach Post in West Palm Beach. It was a great photography paper. And then we had an opportunity to come back to St. Louis in 2007. It's where my family is. My mom is here. My wife's family is here. And being back here, blessed now, we have a little boy, so we're raising him here. He's a good little St. Louisan. So glad to be back here and working here. It's just an absolutely fantastic job. I love working for the church.
Wonderful. I'm sorry, Vicky, you're the only one who hasn't worked in Florida, apparently.
No, but she vacations there a lot.
Yeah. And after this last week and with the forecast for tonight, I'm thinking maybe we need to move the program to Florida.
I would vote for that.
Sure, sounds good to me.
Except for hurricane season, then we'd want to move back here. Yeah. Well, you all have you bring a lot of talent to this department, and it takes a lot of talent to get the message out about what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is doing and what our brothers and sisters in other churches around the world are doing, and when they partner with us to get that message out and to paint a clear picture or to deliver a good picture when we're telling the story of the church and our brothers and sisters in Christ. What are... As we're talking about the Eighth Commandment this week, I'm curious how your career in communications is impacted by your Christian worldview. You've all mentioned that in some way. It certainly has impacted your decision to work, to come into this field here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And you've all had experiences working in other situations, other organizations, other places of employment. How does a Christian worldview impact what you do as a person in communications, a professional in communications in journalism? How does it affect day to day? The questions you ask when you do an interview, how does it impact the photos you take? How does it impact a press release? I'm sure those are loaded questions. Well, shall we come back down to, we'll come back down to Melanie.
If you look, I will just speak to the social media piece. If you look at our social media strategy, one of our first objectives is to teach the faith. Mm-hmm. One of our other main objectives is to create awareness about the LCMS and its theology. So it permeates everything that I do, both with social media and also with the publications of the LCMS.
So having a clear strategy, having a clear approach to how you go about these things laid out in advance certainly is important and shapes everything that you do.
Absolutely.
Vicki?
Well, you know, we're very fortunate here to have a really clearly defined mission statement as well. It's mm-hmm. about vigorously making known the love of Christ in our congregations, our communities, in the world. And I truly, you mentioned the press release, you know, that mission statement is a great guiding piece of copy that I think about all the time when I'm writing mm-hmm. something. Am I, through the words that I'm using, helping to share the love of Christ? And that's sort of uppermost in my mind. So it really, like Melanie said, it permeates everything that we do around here. It's, I think we're always cognizant of, you know, what Christ would have us do and have in the way we are supposed to treat one another.
Eric?
That's a great point, Vicki. I really like that. Melanie, that was fantastic. I was just going to add that, you know, I try to look for photographs that show God's presence in our lives. And what's really great is when you see that love of Christ, that people for others, that's just absolutely wonderful. And, you know, when I think about how I photograph, you know, if you can show that, you can show that love, you can show that presence. I mean, that's, you know, you're showing that to other people as well. Mm-hmm. And not only does that shape your own experience, but it helps to shape others' experiences too, because a photograph can shape an experience for people. And to see that love, hopefully just permeates the audience and helps them kind of reflect upon that.
And I want to continue on a thought here, but first I have to say, what would Adrian say? Hopefully she'll chime in with a comment here. Eric, on your first assignment, you know, jumping on a plane, going to the Philippines right after the typhoon, seeing the pictures that were coming back from that, seeing the mercy that was happening, that was being delivered through the church there, through our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Philippines, and how the work that they were doing to share the love of Christ with the other people in their community that may not have known anything about the church prior to that. The pictures that were coming back in that stream were just amazing, and I think really did a nice job of doing that.
Thank you.
Adrian? Do you have a comment? Is she sending a comment to you?
No, she's sending it to you.
Aha, she's sending it to... Oh, there it is. I was looking for it on my emails, looking on the wrong one. Oh, my. She's got a nice long answer. When it comes to the Eighth Commandment, it's important for us as communicators and as Christians to remember three things. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Sometimes we learn something about an organization or an entity that we just can't wait to spill to someone else, and we choose not to think about the effects that sharing that news with others may have on our reputation or the effect it may have on the person or the organization we're talking about. That's the human nature at work, right? But in these cases, it is helpful for us to stop, take a breath, and ask ourselves those three questions. Oftentimes, we can stop our deliberations after we ask ourselves the first question, is it true? Because often so, gossip isn't. But what if we've learned is true? Then we must ask if it is necessary for others to know this information, if it will affect their own safety or well-being, if we need to share information for another person's knowledge or benefit. And if it is necessary, then we must ask if it is kind. If it is, even better. But if it isn't, our duty as Christian brothers and sisters to put the situation in the kindest light, to find a charitable and tactful way to ensure that the information is offered in the gentlest way possible. And now we're done. No, those were words from Adrian Dorr-Hines, editor of Catechetical Information and managing editor of the Lutheran Witness, who has no voice, but as you can tell, her voice is always in her written word. She's certainly a very talented writer as well, and great to have on staff. she's spoken to the Eighth Commandment, which is our topic for today. How does the Eighth Commandment impact your decisions about your job? You know, when you're writing something, when you're doing a press release, when you're taking a photo, when you're editing something, how does it impact every little decision you make? So I know Adrienne certainly shared her thoughts on that. Would you all like to add to that? We've got a couple of minutes before we go to break. Vicki, you want to start?
Well, Andy, everything that Adrienne said and what Eric and Melanie have said is absolutely true. I mean, it really permeates our working every moment from 8 to 5, and really in many days much longer than that. But that's one of the beautiful things about working here at the LCMS International Center. This is the church, and that's the guiding thing that's at the forefront of everything mm-hmm. that we do. We have these incredible commandments, these laws from God that are inscribed on our hearts and are written in catechisms, you know, that we can refer to. It's just part and parcel of everything that we do here. And we weigh our reaction to things. We weigh a reporter news story, a magazine article, a press release, a conversation with somebody that comes in through the Church Information Center. It's all measured against how Christ wants us to behave and how he wants us to act.
And how that impacts the message that comes out from here, from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Anybody else have anything you want to add to that? When thinking about the Eighth Commandment, as Adrienne pointed out, so often, you know, when you have a story, when you've got news, you're just sometimes you've got something you just want to share. Taking that time to pause and think about, you know, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? To think through those questions that Adrienne brought up, that takes time. In the news world, you don't have time like that. How do you balance that out? I mean, in the rest of the world, especially in secular media, if you take time to think through those things, you might be last to report the story. how do you balance that with wanting to make sure that you're getting news out in a timely manner, but yet think through thoroughly all of those questions? How do you balance that out?
Well, I think, you know, I was just thinking back to an example when we were in the Philippines, and we were in the debris field. It was the Reverend Ross Johnson, who is our director of international disaster. And, you know, and we're walking along there, and he's able to be a pastor, you know, mm-hmm. to people and administer the word and comfort them. As my role as a photographer, I was able to make pictures of that and, you know, showing that mercy. And, you know, I always go for this authenticity of it, mm-hmm. because I want you to know that miles and miles away, this mercy is happening. This is true. This is documentary. There is nothing staged about this. This is manipulated. This is the work that the church is doing to people who may not know what that is. They need that pastoral care. And so for me, you know, I'm looking for those images that communicate that, you know, is it witness? Is it mercy? Is it life together? And I can see that and say, well, how can I deliver that quickly? Which is very difficult overseas. I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, it's one of the problems we face is that speed. You know, there is no working Wi-Fi at times, or maybe no data connection off of a cellular telephone. So, you know, you have to be patient, because you may just not be able to deliver that as quickly as you'd like to. But you know that when you do deliver that and you prepare that, that it has a lasting impact, and at least you hope that people receive that and understand that and take mm-hmm. it to heart and know that that's the love that Christ has for each other, and to show that and communicate that to our people.
Mm-hmm. And Andy, I would add to that, you know, we're all professionals, and, you know, communications is a 24/7 kind of operation, and speed is you know, the way of the world these days. Everything we do, uh-huh. we're turning around generally fairly quickly. So, you know, we are mired in, and I don't know if mired is the best word, but rooted is maybe better. We're rooted in the word here. We work for a mm-hmm. church. This is our subject matter. We are subject matter experts, some of us more than others, I might say, like Adrienne with her incredible theologically trained background. You know, she brings certain skill sets that, and we all have mm-hmm. different things that we're bringing to the table. But it really is just, again, part of who we are and what we do when we execute our work. So it's there all the time. It's permeating every decision that we make. We're fortunate, you know, with some of our products like the magazines that we produce, that we do have a little mm-hmm. bit longer lead time on some of those things. But it really is sort of part of our working day. It's just part of who we are and how we execute the work. We're sinful human beings, and we may not always, you know, uh-huh. hit the mark exactly right, but it's part of everything that we do.
Melanie, I'm sure you have, with social media, timeliness is probably crucial in what you do. And how does timeliness play a role in social media and the things that you're working on?
Well, it's huge, actually. I can just think when there are times of disaster, mm-hmm. We often want to get some word out to the church. The church obviously wants to know how is the LCMS responding to Haiyan, for example. Well, sometimes we may not have immediate word about what our response is or how our congregations are doing. But so one of the typical things that we do is offer a prayer, you know, ask our congregations and our members to be praying for the mm-hmm. people who are most affected by the disaster, and later knowing that we can go back in and fill them in about what we're doing, how our missionaries, mm-hmm. how our congregations, our partner churches are doing in that situation, and then how they can most help.
And I think that's something that's unique to what you get to do in communications for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as to communications in some other organization or entity. That's the first thing you get to do is offer a prayer.
Exactly. Yeah. Didn't really do that at the newspaper.
Well, we are talking with a panel of professionals from Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Communications. We're going to continue the conversation right after the break. I hope you can stick around. It is a great conversation. We've got some comments from Adrienne to share as well. Stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Obamacare's war on women continues. The latest victim is the Women's Resource Center in Fort Collins, Colorado. The Women's Cancer Center, that primarily served women who were uninsured or not insured at all, recently closed its doors. They focused on breast, cervical, ovarian, and reproductive cancers. They also did monthly mammograms from a van at local retailers. Sadly, the perception of their previous donors who supplied crucial grants was that Obamacare would now take care of all these needs. However, the grim reality is that this new government-controlled health care will highly ration life-saving care because there aren't nearly enough tax dollars to keep it afloat. Contrary to getting health care to more people, Obamacare is sharply curtailing it, especially where it's needed most.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
God said, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." A beautiful assurance for you and me from the one who gave you the God-man of Calvary. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for scripture, music, trivia, stories on the lighter side, encouragement from God's side. That's Moments of Assurance weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Mid American Coaches.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer. Live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Wit investigates Monty's mysterious disappearance.
I want to explore that chip implant technology.
But Emily's new friend might hold the key to an even bigger mystery.
There's something suspicious about Buck. I don't trust him.
He's friendly and charming and handsome.
And he's also up to something.
It's one mystery after another. Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
A federal judge has ruled that Kentucky must recognize same-sex marriages performed elsewhere, striking down part of the state's ban. Judge John Habern said the state cannot impose a traditional or faith-based limitation on marriage without sufficient justification. The Reverend Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, says,
"Moral disapproval of homosexuality is not rooted in animus of Christians against people who have a homosexual orientation. It's rooted in the understanding that our Creator has established a pattern for human sexuality that leads to human flourishing."
While the ruling doesn't require churches to perform same-sex weddings, Moeller says,
"This kind of decision can require churches and religious institutions to recognize same-sex marriages, and that is a huge issue in which religious liberty is very much at stake."
Paul Chitwood, executive director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, said children need a father and a mother, and the decision could lead to moral chaos. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, February 13th, and we are talking with professionals from communications at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today about their vocations, their work in their careers in communications, and the Eighth Commandment. We're going to make sure we get the story right today, though. And before we went to break, we certainly had a good conversation about some of the stories and experiences, and I know we've got a few more to get to. I want to get to Adrian's email here in just a second, and I want to invite our listeners again, if you have questions today for our guests, the number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. Talking about the Eighth Commandment, Adrian says, "When considering the Eighth Commandment, we must also focus on forgiveness. If we as communicators have spoken in error, we have posted a story that turns out not to be true or not to be necessary, then we must also be willing to ask for forgiveness, to go to our neighbor and apologize for failing to defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way, as the Catechism says. This is how we act as the body of Christ. We do our best to uphold the Eighth Commandment, even though it is the one people most like to break," with a smiley face. "But when we don't, we also ask for forgiveness, confident that it is already ours in Christ and hopeful that we can repair those relationships with our colleagues." What happens when we fail? I mean, in the world of communications, when you fail,
it's out there.
It's out there, right. It's documented. We just had a conversation last week with Tim Gigline, who was on the White House staff during the Bush administration. And during his time there, he had been there for almost 8 years. And it was discovered that he had plagiarized content in some of his journalism work. And he was thoroughly embarrassed, left his career. You know, he resigned and left his career. But as Adrian pointed out, he found forgiveness in places he didn't expect it. What happens when you fail, when you make a mistake? In my world, it's click send, then edit. I have done that with emails and Facebook posts before. Click send, then edit. And that's kind of a bad habit. What happens when you fail in communications, when you make mistakes and it's out there?
Well, you've seen that in the Post-Dispatch and other papers, the re-regret the error thing.
Yes.
I mean, you have to own it. You have to acknowledge it, mm-hmm. and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, thank God we live in a forgiving world. You know, that's think of all the sports figures and all the other things from secular news. You know, people will forgive if you will admit it and ask for it. So thankfully, we can do that. We just got another quick example. Last week we had a situation happen. It was completely unintentional, but we were posting a news story, and there was a photograph that had been provided that went along with the story, and it showed a group of people that the story was about. And when our editor went to post it online, you know, we are limited, you know, through some sort of technology, you know, with the amount of space that we have for the picture.
You only get so many pixels. You know,
that's right. It can only be so wide. And she just made a quick decision to trim out one of the people who was a little off to the side of the group, just so it would fit in the space. And several people noticed, you know, from our public, and wrote in and on our Facebook page and on our blog and said, what happened? We know this other person was there. Why isn't she in the picture? And, you know, there were people kind of wondering, what was that all about? And it was about nothing. It was just a quick decision to work with the space that the content management system provided. So, you know, we just had to be very open, and we responded, and we said it was just an editorial decision. We regret any concerns that it might have caused, and we're actually going to fix it and post the full picture. Mm-hmm. And so we just took care of it that way. With, you know, again, it was a quick action. We didn't think that it would have any kind of repercussion, and it did. And we responded. We said what happened, and we shared the thing. So that's...
And apologized.
And we did apologize.
And that's important, yeah. Especially when someone gets left out. They, you know, they may. Yeah,
when you put yourself in that person's shoes, I would wonder, but it shows what we were talking about before break. You know, we're moving quick. We've got 8,000 things to do in 3 minutes, and you just do it, move on. And in that case, you know, we didn't stop to think, how would that person feel? And so we're sorry.
And even in radio, things are down to the second here. You know, you only have so much time for a program. A lot of folks don't realize that in broadcasting, things are timed down to the second. So your conversations sometimes get cut short. You might get to a really good point in the conversation, and you think, oh, this would be great to continue this conversation. And you realize, oh, wait, we have 20 seconds left to wrap up the story. and you don't get to the caller's comments or questions and have to apologize, but there are other things. Otherwise, you're taking time away from somebody else as well, so you have to move on. I feel bad when that happens, when we get to the height at a really good point in a story, and then you're like, oh, wait, we're done. We'll have to have you back to finish this story. What are some misconceptions about your line of work? What are things that you think others think that you do, or have misconceptions about what you do, especially with social media. You just play on Facebook all day,
exactly,
don't you?
Exactly, right. I think one of the things, you know, when people hear that I manage the social media accounts, a lot of people may think, well, social media, it's so short. I'm sure that takes you like 5 minutes to write a post.
And then you play
post.
Candy Crush the rest
exactly,
of the day.
Exactly. So, but I'm just reminded of, I think it's a Mark Twain anecdote where he's attributed with saying something like, he wrote a friend and he said, I apologize, if I would have had more time, I would have written a shorter letter. And so I think that's true. I mean, it takes, honestly, it takes more time to write less than it does to write more. So, you know, a lot of time and thought goes into writing and planning our social media posts and keeping them short.
I can relate to that. It takes, you know, when hosting a program like this that's about an hour long, there's some preparation that goes into it and gathering the information, that sort of thing. It takes about the same amount of time to prepare a 3 to 6 minute news story.
Absolutely.
Because you... you have to pack it all in. You know, you have to figure out and edit down and determine what are the important things you want to include in that story. And a lot of people don't realize it can take 2 to 3 hours or more to produce a 6-minute news story for our news program. So I can certainly identify with that. If I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense. Other misconceptions about your line of work?
You know, I would agree with Melanie. I think time is always a critical element. You know, I was thinking when I was photographing this, this seminary dedication in Ghana. You know, you're making the pictures, you're hustling, you're working really hard. And then long after people have gone to bed at night, you know, you're huddled over your computer, you're ingesting photos, you're color correcting them, you're toning. And then, you know, which the color correcting, the curating, that's like the ice cream. You know, you love to do that. That's fun as a photographer. But then comes the captioning. That's like eating the vegetables on the side. So I try to do that ahead of time. But, you know, that all takes time to put together a gallery. And then under the pressure of time, to sequence those photographs into a story that tells, into a sequence of photographs that tell a story. You know, so you think to yourself, okay, where am I in this part of the world? What time is it in the States? We want to provide timely information. So let's see here. How do I tell the story in a certain amount of pictures so that it's nice, it's not too long for people, it's not too brief? But then also then to make sure that you have that accurate data for the captions. I mean, down to each individual titles for people. I mean, it can be very exhausting. And so, you know, you're huddling over a spotty Wi-Fi connection at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're trying to make that happen. And, you know, it gets really, you know, you are exhausted and you have this visual, you're sensory kind of, is your senses are overloaded. You know, I love for able things to speed up, but there is that time you have to just sit and make it really nice of a presentation. And so it always makes a difference in the end, but time is always a precious commodity.
I had to laugh. I had to chuckle a little earlier, Vicki, when you said 8 to 5, because I know I've gotten emails from you at 6 in the morning and about 10:30 at night. So I know.
An early day.
I know that that's probably one of the misconceptions that, you know, we come into the office, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 5, and your work is done.
Let me dispel that myth right now. Communications is 24/7. It truly is. And seriously, since the advent of social media, that has just enhanced itself. It's possible to have more than 24 hours in a day. We're wired all around the clock. But I think as a public relations director, I have it really harder than either of my two colleagues to either side of me. You know, if you were a fan of the Michael J. Fox TV show Spin City, you had national television, you had Hollywood perpetuating a myth that public relations was all about spinning or telling lies or, you know, trying to manipulate facts. And that is not the case. I'm a member of Public Relations Society of America, which is a national professional membership organization, and we ascribe to a code of ethics, and I'm looking it up on my phone right now.
See, <it's>, honesty, looking it up on a phone.
Yeah, because unlike the mission, it's not inscribed on my brain at the moment, but to conduct myself professionally with truth, accuracy, fairness, and responsibility to the public. So if there are people who still kind of think that PR is about spinning to make things always be positive, that's really not the case. I mean, we are here to tell the church's stories, and we want to tell the great stories because there are so many of them. But there is a code of ethics behind, and it starts with the Ten Commandments.
It sounds like what you're saying is there's a difference between making something positive and telling something in the kindest way. There's, you know, the commandment teaches us to explain everything in the kindest way, as opposed to changing it into something positive, putting a spin on it and making it positive. When you have a tough story, when you have something tough, it sounds like you go through those questions that Adrian mentioned earlier. Have you ever had one of those where you just, your stomach's hurting trying to figure out how do you, not necessarily that you need to share the story, but have you ever had one of those where it's just so tough that you're trying to figure out, how do I explain this in the kindest way? It's important for people to know this, but how do I explain it in the kindest way? You don't have to tell the story itself, but have you ever had those? Any?
Everybody's pointing at me.
It's because you're the director of public relations.
Well, sure. The church has a rich and storied history, and we've done wonderful, good things over the centuries. But we are a church of people. Therefore, mm-hmm. we are a church of sinful people. Mm-hmm. And there have been, some difficult things that we've had to share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when it is one of those times, it's not easy. It's it can be a heartbreaking mm-hmm. gathering of folks around the table as we talk about how do we talk to the public. And I think there are, it wouldn't be difficult to find examples of those kinds of things if people are just kind of thinking back over some of the stories over the years. But even in those hard times when we've mm-hmm. got a difficult story to share, we are so thankful that we are Christians because we have a great body of resource. We have all of God's teachings to help us and guide us through those times when we're preparing our messages.
How does the mercy of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, how does that shape your day in the work that you do? How does that impact your attitude about coming to work? Yes. Oh, there's Adrian popping up. Let's go back a little bit, Adrian, to Adrian's comment. There is a tendency, I think, among communicators to become jaded or numb. Every day we hear stories of disasters or crises, of pastors and church workers who have sinned in their vocation, and it is easy for us to think the Eighth Commandment is overrated because awful things happen all around us. And so, what does it matter anyway? That is when we rally as the body of Christ, when we pray the Lord would cause us to still care for one another and for one another's reputations, even when we hear about and have to report on these kinds of things. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts as colleagues on this as well. And I think Vicky certainly pointed that out. Any other comments anybody wants to share on those tough times? Another comment from Adrian. One thing people don't often consider is that sometimes the Eighth Commandment is broken against us as communicators. People in the LCMS may not like the stories we share or the things we report on. It's important in those moments to pray for grace, for forgiveness, and to repent when we're angry against those who have sinned against us.
Adrian makes a great point. Mm-hmm. You know, there mm-hmm. there have been, that certainly comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, again, people sometimes just aren't putting the best construction on something that comes out. And, we'll sit around saying, well, it's the truth, we didn't mean anything by that. But we have to remember that, mm-hmm. that they are owed that same grace and consideration.
How does that grace and forgiveness of Christ, go back to the question just a little bit ago, how does that grace and forgiveness of Christ affect your attitude about coming to work every day as a communicator, as a professional in that field? Does it make a difference in what you do?
Well, I, for one, would say yes. I'm a lifelong LCMS member. Uh-huh. I've had the glorious joy of knowing Christ from my earliest recollection. So I mentioned at the beginning of our time together that I've worked in lots of other places before coming here. So I can take my Christian belief system with me and
sure.
had it with me in those other places that I worked. But here, the difference is I'm surrounded by so many people just mm-hmm. like me. When I came for my very first interview here, the interview started with a prayer. And I remember thinking, well, that's a first. That has never happened before. So I think there is certainly a greater feeling of forgiveness that just sort of floats in the air around here. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all very blessed to be here. It is different than working in other places. Sure, again, there are Christians in other places, but this is a
hopefully
very special
so.
Place.
Yeah. Eric?
Vicky makes a great point, but I love serving our church. I mean, this is a place where I can blend my photojournalism and faith mm-hmm. all at once. And that, to me, is just an absolute blessing because I'm with our people, and we share that same love of our Lord. we understand, you know, when we look at how our Christian, our Lutheran Christianness, it shapes ourselves in work as well as at home. And so it's such a blessing to be around those people because, you know, we share that same conviction. Mm-hmm. And that's just wonderful. It makes us just a wonderful community here.
And I think that impacts how you approach a story. I remember right before you started here, hearing about your background at the newspaper and then coming here and you said, I really wanted to serve my church. And you can see that in your stories. Melanie, anything that you want to add?
Well, one of the reasons I went into journalism, because I was very idealistic and I knew journalism can change the world. And journalism is all about telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And so working here at the LCMS, we're telling the greatest truth of all, the gospel. And so that's an honor and a privilege that we get to do that and participate in the Great Commission every single day.
And it's a blessing to get to work with you all, too, to have that support. That was a nice, solid answer.
Thank you.
Thumbs up from everybody, Melanie.
Yes, you're right.
Bonus points.
With just a couple minutes left, with your department, what do we see? Any news or anything you want to share today that's coming in the year ahead? Anything exciting about communications? I know we just had a press release about the missionaries that are going out, that are being sent out. Anything else? We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left before we wrap up.
Well, one thing I'm working on as I kind of just returned, I've been adding a lot of different photo galleries to our photo.lcms.org portal. So, you know, we visited a blind school in Ansara Bay in Madagascar, and you could see President Harrison. I mean, you know, he's walking up a muddy hill after the van gets stuck on the way to the Synodical Convention for the Malagasy Lutheran Church. So there's a lot of great things coming up on there. You know, I'm adding more photographs every time. So please keep your eye out for them. You know, it's the stories I love to tell, showing our church and other partners and other churches working as well. So.
And Andy, one last thing, if there's still time.
Sure, we got time. We're good.
We just announced that there is a theme that we're introducing that will be being implemented over these next 3 years, this current year, 2014, 2015, 2016.
I'm representing it right now.
Andy is standing at the microphone. So we are promoting the theme Stand. You'll see that the ministries of the International Center are going to be branding their events over this triennium, all pointing toward the 500th anniversary of the Reformation that's coming up in 2017. So I would say to everybody listening to keep your eyes and ears out for Stand and be looking to help amplify the message of the significance of that anniversary and what it means for Christians for the next 500 years.
Very good. Social media, anything? What are the places where we can find news about our communications from Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? I know you mentioned Facebook earlier.
Yes, Facebook. We're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We're on Instagram, Google+, and YouTube.
Very good. So they just look for
the LCMS
places. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I will squelch. You know, I'll stop any rumors that I heard about those folks in communications later on today. No, it's been great having you all here in studio today to be our guests and talk about your careers as professionals in communications. Melanie Ave, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you,
Vicki Biggs. Thanks for being our guest in studio.
My pleasure. Thanks, Andy.
Eric Lunsford, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
And Adrian Dorr via email, no voice today. Thanks for being our guest. And we'll continue the conversation tomorrow here on Faith and Family. Stick around for more Moments of Assurance up next right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program.
Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.